Okay, this afternoon we are going to review the message during the PAX International Chinese Speaking Conference. So would you turn to the last page of your outline where you can find the banner for this conference so we can read together in English, the last page. Okay, let's read together. Amen. Grace is God Himself in Christ as the Spirit, given to us, gained by us, and enjoyed by us. The gospel of the grace of God is the stewardship of Christ to dispense God into His home for His enjoyment. Okay, brothers, read the second banner. The righteousness of God is a procedure of God's salvation judiciary. The life of Christ is the purpose of God's salvation organically. And the faith of the believer is a substantiation of God's salvation practically. Sisters, third banner. Let's read together, Ben 4. The highest point of gospel is that God created us for the accomplishment of His economy with the intention that He have become like life and nature, but not in the Godhead. So we have altogether five messages. First banner is the second message. Second banner, it's message 3. Third banner is message 4. And the fourth banner is message 5. So the major content were contained in these four banners. And this afternoon, I'm going to share message 1 and 2. And after the love feast, we will review the message 3. So this is how we arrange. And the general subject of this conference is the gospel. Amen. The gospel. Amen. This is the beginning of the year 2016. So, what will be the Lord's major leading in the year 2016? Well, we need to look for the Holy Spirit, right? So, in that hand, there are several brothers fellowship together. Brother Ron, Brother Branson, Brother Andrew Yu, and they feel that it might be the Lord's leading. It might be the Lord's leading that the year 2016 might be the year of the gospel. Amen. And I personally feel that this set of outlines is very, very good. I found out that after the new Chinese New Year conference, many places, when they also have some kind of a small conference, they all use this set of outline. Why? I tell you, this outline is very precious. Amen. 10 years ago, I had the chance to provide hospitality to Brother Ron Kangas. I asked him a question. With an audience, more than 2,000 saints, what will you present? He said, well, the standard of this set of outline is exactly the same with other seven annual feasts. Thanksgiving Day Conference, Memorial Day Conference, ITERO, the standard is the same. But it has been presented in a balanced way. Because it wants to take care of the new one as well as the more mature one. They had the basic truth. They also had the deeper truth. They had a revelation. And also they have the application. So I feel this set of messages is really very good, and if we can take time to digest it, it will be very good. So if you look carefully into the outline, you will find that every message has been composed of two elements. One is the content, and the other is a commission. Without the content of the gospel, what we preach may not be up to the standard of what the Bible revealed to us. But without the preaching, the gospel is just a dead knowledge without any reality. So we need these two aspects. We need to have the content, and also we need to have proclamation, the announcement of the gospel. So I feel it's very good, especially the nowadays, the gospel preaching is widespread in all over the earth. So this time in Anaheim, we have a chance to concern the gospel nowadays. You know, we have many saints went to Germany to preach the gospel to the refugees. Wow, we saw all the video presentation, all the picture. Wow, it's really glorious. The Lord is really doing something among these refugees. We were told the testimony that when saints went to Frankfurt, Germany, they want to have a kind of a harvest in reaping gospel meeting. So this meeting was set on 6 p.m. in the evening. But when the clock towards 6 p.m., nobody showed up. Because that day it's very cold. They think maybe today this gospel meeting need to cancel because the weather is so cold, nobody will show up. But at the juncture of 6 p.m., one brother received a phone call. He said, "Oh, brothers, please wait for us. We have 29 people coming on the way. Due to the severe weather, we will be late, but please wait for us, wait for us." Then for a short while, another phone call came in. He said, "Oh, we have 35 people come on the way. Please wait for us. Don't begin the gospel meeting. Wait for us, wait for us." So eventually, there are 65 people come to the gospel meeting. And all raised up to pray to receive the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can see that the gospel preaching is preparing all over the earth. Not only so, in North America, I began to hear the testimony that more and more churches pick up the burden to preach the gospel. Like Champaign, right? They have two sections with a certain group of saints went out to preach the gospel twice a week. In the church in Anaheim, after the Lord's Table meeting, they also have a group of saints that use a simple meal and go out for the gospel preaching. So praise the Lord. I really feel that if we look back the year 2016, if we ask what is the highlight for the year 2016, I hope that we can say the gospel. Amen. But not the shallow gospel, but the gospel up to the standard of the Bible. So, as far as the gospel is concerned, there are many different ways of saying about the gospel. We have the gospel of God, we have the gospel of the Son of God, or we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of love, gospel of life, gospel of peace, gospel of grace. There are 140 times saying about the gospel in the New Testament. So, if you have only five messages, what topic will you pick up? 114 different titles of the message, but you have only five messages. What title will you pick up? Well, I tell you the realest reason. We have these five titles. First, Gospel of Kingdom. Second, Gospel of Grace. Third, the structure of the gospel. If you build a house with a strong structure, then this building is very good, right? Then the fourth, we have the gospel of completion. The fifth message is the gospel according to the highest peak of the divine revelation. We have these five gospels. So could you read the title and the general subject together on the first page? Amen. General subject, the gospel, message one, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of kingdom, Rome number one. The gospel concludes all the truths in the Bible. The entire Bible is the gospel of God. Why we put the gospel of God as our first message? Because when John the Baptist, he began to preach the gospel, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God has drawn near. Right? And also the Lord Jesus himself, when he preached the gospel, he also said a similar word, repent, for the kingdom of the heaven or kingdom of God has drawn near. So there's a principle in the Bible that is called the first mentioned principle. Whatever is first mentioned in the Bible, that becomes the seed for that truth. And since the Lord Jesus, he first mentioned the gospel as the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. So we must put kingdom of God as our first message because this is first mentioned in the Bible. And Romans 1 says, the gospel includes the truth in the Bible, the entire Bible is the gospel. We used to think that, the gospel is gospel and the truth is the truth. If the unbelievers come to the church, we say, you better go to the gospel meeting. But if the more mature one come to the church, we say, you better go to the perfecting meeting or the truth meeting. But actually, in the Bible, the gospel is the truth. The gospel is the complete, the whole truth in the Bible. In Ephesians 1:13, we just read that, Paul said, in which you also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. So, Paul equalized the gospel of truth as gospel, the word of the truth as a gospel of salvation. So, what do you mean to preach the gospel? That means you push the whole truth in the Bible. This is the gospel of the truth. And they say, the truth is the gospel, and the light of the truth is the light of the gospel. The unique commission of the church today is to preach the gospel, the content of which is the truth. When the Lord Jesus came to preach gospel, his gospel preaching is very different from us. I read Mark 1:14 for you. He said that after Jesus, as John was delivered up, Jesus came into the Galilee, proclaimed the gospel of God. That is, he proclaimed the gospel of God. But in a paragraph in Matthew 4:16, what did he say? The similar topic, what did he say? He said, the people sitting in the darkness have seen a great light. And to those sitting in the region and the shadow of death, to them, light has been risen. The Lord Jesus' gospel preaching is very different from us. The Lord Jesus' gospel preaching is a shining of light. Amen. Those who are sitting in the darkness saw a great light. Today, if we say we are preaching the gospel, we also must have the same characteristic. Our gospel preaching is a shining of light. People, those who are sick in the darkness, they saw the light. You know that whenever I went to a university to have some Bible study with the saints, I have a different kind of view for these students. You know, when I go to this prestigious university, University of Chicago, Northwest University, you know, previously, I thought that, they have a great future in the world, right? They study the best engineer school, medical school, business school. But after a certain point, my concept was changed. They are the people sitting in the darkness. They don't know their future. They don't have an idea what the general meaning of human life. So this is, he said, the church's responsibility is to preach the gospel, to shine the force, the light to those who seek in the darkness. This is today's our responsibility. B. The gospel is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. The gospel is the fulfillment of the promises, prophecies, and types, and is also the removal of the law. That is a full definition of the gospel. So here we see the full definition of the gospel. Have you noticed that the word gospel never been appeared in Old Testament even one time? Why? Because Mark 1:1 tells us the beginning of the gospel is what? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, there's no gospel. When Jesus comes, the gospel comes. Gospel is the good news. And what is the greatest good news is that in the universe? That is our Lord Jesus come. That's the greatest news in the universe. Amen. So no wonder in the Old Testament, there's no mention of the word gospel. But indeed, they had a prophecy. They have types. And they have prophesied types and promises. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and his name will be called Emmanuel. This is what? God with us. This is promise. And also, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, and you will bruise him on his feet. This is what? This is promises also. So in the Old Testament, we see all kinds of promises, all kinds of a prophecy, all kinds of types. 2 years ago, we went to Israel. We go to the marketplace. Wow! For all the riches of the good land, the pomegranate tree, the pomegranate, all kinds of fruit. Olives, yes. Grapes, all kinds of fruit, different color of grapes. Some are green ones, some are yellow ones, some are the purple ones. All this is a type of the riches of this all-inclusive Christ. Amen. So although in the Old Testament, we don't have the clear word about the gospel, but we have type, we have promises, we have our promises. Rome Nero 2. The four gospels reveal different aspects of the Bible. Those in the lost recovery, we all familiar, they are four different aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus as depicted in the four gospels, right? The Mark depict the King Savior. The Mark depict the slave Savior. Luke depict the man Savior. And John depict the God Savior. But have you noticed that these four gospels also portray the four different aspects of the gospel? Let's read together. A, B, C, D, brother A, amen. In Matthew, the goal of the gospel is the kingdom, is to bring people into God, to make them citizens of the kingdom of the heaven. Sisters, in Mark, the gospel is being part of the whole creation in the new creation, brother C. In Luke, we have the gospel of the forgiveness to bring redeemed people back to the God of them, sister. Amen. So, these four gospels give us the four different emphasis on different aspects of the gospel. Matthew is emphasis that we may bring into the kingdom of God and we can become the citizen of the kingdom of God. Mark said that we can preach to all the creations. And Luke mentioned that we had to preach the gospel of repentance. And John said that we can receive the eternal life and we can become the increase of the body of Christ. So these four different gospel depict the four different aspects of the gospel. I'll just give you some short explanation. In Matthew, it said, baptize them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This word into indicates a kind of organic union. And when we have an organic union with the triune God, that means God's life become our life. Amen. So that we can bring into the kingdom of God. Amen. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a realm that full of God's life. Amen. Animal kingdom is a kingdom full of animal life. The plant kingdom is a kingdom full of plant life. So the kingdom of God is the kingdom full of God's light. And how do we have the God's light? Our being have a God's light is that we're brought into an organic unit with the process triune God. So that we can become the citizen of God and become part of the kingdom of God. This is Mark, Matthew. And in Mark, it's very interesting. He said that we need to proclaim to all the gospel to all creation that man can become a part of the new creation. When I read this point, I noticed something which I do not notice previously. You know that Mark 16:15 said that go into the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation. To all the creation. Including what? Including bird, dog, cat, flower. Once brother told us, you need to preach the gospel to your pet, your family. He said, look at, I am a man. Amen. I'm the center and the meaning of the universe. Amen. And I'm waiting for the redeeming. Amen. But you know the next verse said, he who baptizes, who believe and baptize, shall be saved. Then you will ask a question. Since you preach the gospel to all creation, so can the dog baptize? Can the cat baptize? He first mentioned you have to preach the gospel to all the creation. And they say, people who believe and baptize. Can birds be baptized? Of course not. Then what does it mean to preach the gospel to all creation? The reason is this. Man is the leading part of all creation. When man's fall, all the creations fall. When man got saved, got redeemed, all the vanity of all the creation has been taken away. So, as a leading part of all creation, we must receive and be baptized. And this is what the book of Mark emphasizes. And of course, Luke emphasizes that we can proclaim repentance for forgiveness of sins. And John mentioned that we should have an eternal life, that we can bear fruit and build up the organic body of Christ. So, you will read the reference verse here in John 20:31. He said, this has been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So that in the end of the Gospel of John, he said that if we believe into his name, then we shall have life, right? What is that? That means the first sentence in this outline, he said, we may have the eternal life. But the Gospel of John does not end it on chapter 20. It continues with chapter 21. And what does chapter 21 tell us? It said that the Lord told Peter that he had to shepherd the sheep, to feed the sheep. What does that mean? That is another saying of preaching the gospel. So you may see that in the book of John, enough only emphasize that we shall have life, we shall receive the eternal life, but we also need to preach the gospel. And this is in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus sent us to go forth and bear fruit and bear the remaining fruit. So in this sense that in John we see the divine life, that we may bear fruit for the building up of the body of Christ for Christ's increase. So you see that from these four Gospels, we can see the different aspects of the Gospel. Okay? And now we come to point number three, which is the emphasis for this message. Could we read Rome number three together? Amen. It is crucial. I have mentioned that the first mentioned principle, since Lord Jesus preached the gospel and said this is the gospel of the kingdom. So the gospel is the gospel of kingdom. Okay. A said, the kingdom of God is a divine sphere for God to work out his plan. It is a realm where God can exercise his authority to accomplish what he intended. A realm. It's a place where what you want fulfill aim, what you want to do can be accomplished. So by the same token, the kingdom of God should be a sphere where God wants, God's aim, God's goal can be accomplished. This is a definition of the kingdom of God. But B is a key point for this message. It says, the fundamental problem in the universe is rebellion against the authority of God. When man fell, he rebels against the God, put God's authority aside, deny God's authority, and reject God's rule. This is the main point for this message. What is the main fundamental problem in the universe? It's a rebellion. You say, no. The fundamental problem is not real. The fundamental problem it should be the sin. Because there is sin, so we are so miserable. We are being ruled by sin. We are being destroyed by sin. We are being harmed by sin. But I tell you, if there's no rebellion, there's no sin. You sin because you rebel. You rebel first, then you sin. So the fundamental in the universe is not sin, but the rebellion. For submissive one, he will never sin. For those who rebel against God, he will sin. So before man was created, there already something happened in the universe. Satan, our day star, our son of dawn, he rebelled against the God. And not only so, after he rebelled, he injected his rebellious nature into man. So man became rebellious. So the kingdom of God is to redress this problem. The kingdom of God is God's way to handle this kingdom. Whenever the kingdom of God is coming, whenever the kingdom of Satan has been cast out, so we need to preach the kingdom of God. Today, this rebellious nature is rampant all over the earth. 2 years ago, Quen Sam Sens went to Montreal for the GTCS sewing trip there. They put a table in the university. And one professor who teach in biology come directly to the table and challenging our sense. He said, you say there is a God. And God live in you. And show me, which part? Your hand, your heart, or your leg, which part did God live in you? So our young full-timers are so embarrassed by his challenge. But praise the Lord, there's another more mature brother come and say politely, and say, sir, do you love your wife? Say, yes. Do you love your children? He say, yes. Show me, which part did your love abide? So he ran away. But this shows you some pictures. Tonight, this rebellious nature is rampant in all the universe. So now today, the church shall preach the gospel of the kingdom to bring people into a ruling of this divine life. See, through the gospel of the kingdom, God brings people under the ruling of the heavenly authority, so that they may become the kingdom and those who are ruled by his authority. So this point is a very precious point. On the negative side, the kingdom of God is to redress, to correct the rebellion problem in the universe. But on the other hand, the kingdom of God is bringing us some good news. We can rule by this king. We can reign by this king. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the gospel preaching? Gospel preaching is to invite people to this joyful realm. Amen. Previously, we are reigned by Satan. We are ruled by ourselves. We are ruled by our natural man. But praise the Lord, today we can reign by this king. Amen. This is gospel preaching. Of course, sometimes we must use authority. But in essence, the gospel is a good news. Good news. Oh, sinners, come here. You can no longer live in yourself. You can no longer live in your natural life. You can live in God's reign. This is the positive side of the kingdom of God. D, read together. Amen. 牛天. There's a word called the real gospel. Real gospel. You know that in the United States, there are many great preachers, but very few people preach the gospel in the view of the kingdom of God. Some may preach the gospel in the view of the kingdom of grace, gospel of grace, or gospel of love, or gospel of peace, or even gospel of life. But very few people preach the gospel using the title of Kingdom of God. So today, the church has a responsibility. We rise up to preach the gospel of the Kingdom of God. This is called the real gospel, the genuine gospel, the Kingdom of God. Amen. E, the gospel is for kingdom, and the gospel is proclaimed so that rebellious sinners might have safe, qualified, and equipped to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay. I want to explain to you that I will not linger on every point because we have so many portions. So some points I'll just read through, but some points I will give more explanation. F, in Matthew, the goal of the gospel of the kingdom is to set up the kingdom of the heavens by putting people into the triune God, making them the citizen of the kingdom of the heavens. Matthew 28:19 said, baptize them into the name of the Son, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is made us the kingdom people. Amen. G, the command everywhere to repent for the kingdom. Amen. God commands everyone to repent for the kingdom. Tomorrow morning, Lord's Day, after the meeting conference, there will be two baptisms. But I tell you, in order for us to be baptized into the kingdom of God, we need to repent. Nowadays, with so many people, when they're baptized, they call upon the name of the Lord. But we don't see too often when people baptize, they repent. Do you know what the repentance means? Repent not just to regret or remorseful. Repent is a change of mind. Your concepts change. Your burial systems change. Previously on Lord's Day, you go here and go where to pray, but now you come to the church meeting to enjoy Christ. What is it? This is to repent. Repent is to change your mind. No matter before you say your concept is good or bad, your concept is correct or wrong, that doesn't matter. The point is that you have to change. You change your mind according to the Bible. That is called repent. So God commands people to repent. That means God commands people to have a change in their mind. That they have to change their concept. They have to change their way of living. This is called repent. Okay, Romans 4. Let's read together. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom for testimony of the known. Amen. This is our commission. Okay. As I have mentioned that every message composed of two characters. One is the content and one is the commission. You can say from Romans 1 to Romans 3, we had a major content of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, we not only know this content, we will go out to preach to the all inhabited earth. Today, so many people, they need the gospel, especially these refugees. They come from Syria, they come from Afghanistan, they come from Iraq. They need the gospel. So, this is our obligation, to proclaim the gospel. We see many pictures that are sent in Germany. They preach the gospel. So this should be our commission. This should be our obligation to preach the gospel. Amen. Okay, I have finished message one. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, give us such a short time to give us some taste for the riches of this message. Now we come to the message too. Can we read the title and numeral one together? Great. The thanks God into being home for them. Amen. This is a definition of the grace of God. Amen. As I have asked you previously, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are 114 times to mention the gospel. Why you choose this title as a second message? Why? There's a reason. You know, the brothers will not pick up these titles in a light way. They have considered a lot. I'll tell you the reason. The reason is that in Acts chapter 20, at the third journey of Paul to Jerusalem, he asked the elders in Ephesus come to a place called Miletus and give them some warning, right? He said that, Paul said, I consider my life of no account as is precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to so many testify of the gospel of the grace of God. This is toward the end of Paul's ministry. When he summarized the whole ministry he served on this earth, he summarized his ministry as the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. So you may know that if you, toward the end of your life, you say, oh, in this life I do nothing, I just enjoy the grace of God. That means the grace of God is something very special. And of course, from the Bible, we see Paul, he himself is a person who enjoys the grace very much, right? He, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said that he labored abundantly, yet not I, but what? But the grace of God, which is with me, right? And the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said that because he received the marvelous revelation, so the messenger, the Satan, put a thorn in his flesh. So he prayed three times to the Lord that this thorn may depart from him. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? My grace is sufficient. Amen. So you may say that in the whole entire life of Paul, he's a person who enjoyed grace. So no wonder toward the end of his ministry, he said his ministry is to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. He himself not only enjoys grace, but he wants to introduce, he wants to dispense his experience of grace to the other as the gospel. Amen. In the early 20th centuries, when the gospel first introduced to mainland China, there are so many misconceptions about the gospel. So God raised up a young man called Watchman Nee. He stood up and to correct the erroneous teaching about the gospel. So in a magazine called The Christians, he brought up the 50 questions about the gospel. Do you know why the first question? You may say, oh, the first question might be how men falls, or how men received the salvation, or how did men repent? No. The first question Brother Watchman Nee brought in this 50 question is, what is grace? What is grace? People have very often to speak about grace, but not many people have a genuine realization of what is grace. I myself brought out this book and read it. I found it really very interesting. I read to you. Brother Watchman Nee brought out 7 points of what is grace. I read to you. He said, does grace means giving man what he deserves? I'm a good guy. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't drunk. So I'm a good guy. So I deserve grace. He said, is this grace? Second question. Does grace mean supplement what men deserve? Oh, I'm so good. I deserve grace. So, although men can receive grace, but to such a nice guy as I deserve the supplement of grace. He said, no. Third, does grace mean withholding from men because he does not deserve? I'm a bad guy. I'm so bad. So I don't deserve grace. Is that the genuine grace mean? No. Fourth. Does grace mean grace means giving less because man does not deserve it? Some people are good guys. So they deserve more grace. But I'm not so good, so I deserve less grace. Is that the genuine grace means? No. Fifth, making the recipient a debtor. You owe God's grace. You know that in Chinese culture, we also have the culture, invite me to have a meal, I must repay you, otherwise become a debtor of you, right? So, God give us grace. So, is that God give us grace so that we become the debtor of grace? I tell you, God give us much grace, right? God give us life. God give us sanctification. God give us transformation. God make us the Son of God. Can you repay it? So, oh God, I don't deserve for sanctification. I want to repay you the sanctification. You cannot make it. Why? Because grace is freely give. Amen. Once you receive, you get it. This is the nature of grace. The grace given to us is not to make us a debtor. Six, does grace mean directly forgive men's sin? Someone may think, oh, God is so kind, God is full of love. So, he do not mind whether or not we just make a small mistake, or just commit a small sin. That is not the nature of grace. When God forgives men, he must forgive men in a righteous procedure. Without a procedure, God cannot freely forgive people. So, when you talk about grace, there are so many misunderstanding for the nature of grace. Today, we want to know what is grace. We must know the grace according to the standard of the Bible. So this is what Watchman Nee talk about. Okay, you can look at this question on the internet, on the corrected word of Watchman Nee, volume 1, number 20. He lists 7 points about what the nature of grace. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Today, we can receive grace. Amen. And grace is what? Grace is God himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us. Not only given us, but also gained by us. But also being enjoyed by us. And this is the gospel of grace. Amen. Okay, let's come to Rome numeral 1. Let's read together. Amen. The grace given... Okay, so in point capital A, B, and C, we see a timeline of how this grace can be gained by us, can be enjoyed by us, and can be even experienced. Okay. A told us that this grace has been given for us not accidentally. Even before the time, before the foundation of the earth, God has planned to give us grace. And we say, God, who was in the beginning, became flesh in time, a grace for men, to receive, possess, and enjoy, making God countable, touchable, receivable, experienceable, enterable, and enjoyable. Sixable. When I read this point, I feel so happy that this God can become touchable. You know, in the Old Testament, God is untouchable. When you see God, you must die. Because God lives in a far away place. God is God, man and man. There is a huge gap. You cannot reach God. But praise the Lord, one day he become a man. Amen. He become touchable. Amen. You see the whole four Gospels. How many times God touched people, right? One day there's a leper come to the Lord Jesus and said to him, if you will, I can be cleansed. What did he say? The Bible said, the Lord Jesus stretch out his hand, touch him, and say, be cleansed. Can you touch a leper? You know, the hardest thing for a leper is nobody wants to touch him. People say, oh, there's a leper. Oh, I have to go away from him. I think after he become a leper, he become leprosy. Probably nobody, he has been touched by anybody. But praise the Lord, today, this car become touchable. Amen. He touched this leper and said to him, be cleansed, I'm willing. What a gospel, right? And God become actable, enjoyable. Hallelujah for this able. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I really feel that, wow, this point is really marvelous. Amen. God becomes such a one for us to experience. Amen. Amen. And she said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bountiful supply of the triune God, who is embodied in the Son and realized as a life-giving spirit enjoyed by us through the exercise of our spirit. Amen. And although this God grace is something abstract, but actually we can experience grace and we can experience this grace by what? By turning to our spirit. Amen. Touch the spirit, touch the song of grace. Amen. Whenever we turn to our spirit, then we touch the throne of grace. Amen. So this is a secret of our experience of grace. And point D, E, and F give out a practical way of how to experience grace. Could you read together point D? Amen. Day by day, a marvelous divine transformation. Continually, amen. Continually, amen. Receiving the dispensing of Spirit of grace, continually, amen. Today, this grace is waiting to transmit it for us. As long as we turn to our spirit, we can continually experience this grace, amen. And this is a day-by-day matter, amen. And he said, the way for daily receiving grace so that we may flow out grace is to turn to the spirit, exercise the spirit and enthrone the Lord. Amen. Whenever we are turned to our spirit and enjoy the spirit, we are enthroned the Lord. Amen. But whenever we live in our soul, we just dethrone the Lord, right? We either live in our soul or live in our spirit. There is no choice. There is no neutral place. So in order for us to receive grace, we have to turn to our spirit. Amen. So we can receive the grace day by day. Amen. F and point 1, 2, 3, 4, read F together. Amen. The way to daily receive grace so that we may dispense grace is through the blood, the word, the spirit. There are 4 points. Point one is talking about blood. Second point is talking about word. Third point is talking about spirit. The fourth point is talking about the church. So in order for us to receive grace, we need these four elements: the blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. Amen. The first point is concerning blood. If you don't feel that we are a sinner, then you don't need the blood. And if you don't feel that you need the blood, you cannot enjoy grace. But the more you feel that, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need you every day, even every moment, I need your precious blood, then instantly you enjoy grace. Amen. The grace will cover you. The grace will supply you. Amen. And then what? The second is what? The word. If you want to enjoy word, enjoy grace, come to the word. Whenever you read the Bible, you enjoy the word of God. You enjoy grace. Amen. This time, Minoru gave us a story. He said in 1980s, Brother Lee raised up a group of young brothers who have a heart to serve the Lord. And one brother asked him a question: what book should I study if I want to know the truth? Do you know what is the answer? Brother Winnie said, no matter what book you read, just spend the time. This is the answer. He said, I read in the Bible, not just because I feel so hungry that I need the Bible. He said, no, I read the Bible just because I need to read the Bible. This is a way to equip you to choose. You eat the breakfast. Sometimes you feel hungry, but sometimes you don't feel hungry. Just eat it. You eat the dinner. Sometimes you feel hungry, sometimes you don't feel hungry. Just eat it. Eat the breakfast, make you healthy, right? No matter if you feel you need it, you don't feel it, you feel hungry, you feel what, you just do it. So the reason to read the Bible is that just read it. If you read the Bible, then you will receive the supply from the Bible. Amen. The third is the spirit of grace. The spirit as a bountiful supply of the process and consummated triune God. And the fourth, the church of God. This point is really interesting. You notice the reference Bible in Psalm 133, verse 3, I read it to you. He said that the dew which descending on the mountains of Zion, the dew which come down upon the mountain of Zion. What is the dew? The dew signifies the refreshing grace. But where did the dew come down? It came down from the mountains of Zion. This mountain is in the plural form, which signifies many churches, many local churches. You want to enjoy grace, you must come to the church life. Amen. So this afternoon, what are we doing here? We are enjoying grace. Amen. Why? Because we come to the church. And the more we come to the church, the more we enjoy grace. Amen. Okay, this is Rome numeral 1. And we continue to Rome numeral 2. We read Rome numeral 2 together. Amen. Paul in his ministry. In his writing, Paul God, the grace of God. Paul unveiled to us what the grace of God is. Amen. As I have mentioned, toward the end of the ministry, of his ministry, Paul said that his ministry is a ministry of the grace of the gospel or the grace of God. This is what Paul teach. So Paul is a person who experienced grace, who enjoyed grace very much. And A say, grace is God's visitation to stay in man, to be born in man, and to be one with man. Okay. This is also the definition of the grace. What is grace? Grace, God's visitation to stay in man. Yesterday, I looked at the internet. I searched on Google, what's the definition of grace? Nowadays, we have many technology. We know many things. Okay, do you know what did I find out? The most common thing about grace is that grace is an unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, unworthy favor. For example, you are not so smart. You don't perform so well in your school, but you got admitted to a prestigious university. And people say, oh, this is grace. Oh, brothers, you receive grace. See how God give you grace. You don't perform so well, but you got to get admission to a prestigious university. But God, I tell you, we cannot say this is not grace, but this is very shallow concept about the grace. What is grace? Grace is God's visitation to man. And not only God's visitation of man, but also staying in man, and born in man, and to be one with man. I tell you, in the Old Testament, God also visited people. God visited Abraham. God visited Gideon. But after God visited, what happened? God left. This is Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's very different. After God visited Mary, what happened? He was found to be born with a child of the Holy Spirit. God only visited men, but also God one with men. Even God born in men, so that God can be one with men. This is the New Testament definition of what is grace. This point is really precious. Today, we not only enjoy grace, but we can be one with grace. We can be stay in the grace. Amen. B say, the Christian living must be the living of grace, the expression of grace, so that we can carry out our stewardship of grace, the dispensing of grace. Amen. This point is really marvelous. And point two, under capital B said, in the church life, when we have grace upon us, the church life will be built up, and this grace we receive will be visible. Pay attention to this word, visible. You know, grace is not something abstract. Grace is something mysterious. Grace is visible. If you enjoy grace, people will sense the difference. Yesterday, one brother asked Brother Lin Hong, by the way, he is very sick, so he needs some rest. He will give up a message tonight. One brother asked him, how do we encourage saints to go out to preach the gospel? Or how do we encourage saints to PSRP to dive into the truth? He said, very simple. You first do it, and then people will see the difference. When you go out and preach the gospel, you enjoy the gospel, people will see the difference. So this grace is visible. You know, when the disciples, due to the persecution, the incident of Stephen, they went out everywhere to preach the gospel. And one day they went to Antioch. So they bring many people saved in Antioch. So one day Barnabas, he wanted to look at what happened in the church in Antioch. So he went to Antioch. And the Bible says, he saw the grace of God and he rejoiced. And so there is a kind of situation in the church life which is visible. In the church God built up, this building church is visible. If you enjoy Christ, this Christ is visible. So praise the Lord. B said, the Christian living should be the living of Christ, the experience of Christ. The more we experience Christ, the more we live out this grace. Amen. C, let's read C together. Amen. The practical life. Amen. It's coming from the grace of God. Amen. Here is, it lists many references from the book of 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, we know that the church in Corinth has many problems. They had a problem of division, abuse the freedom, their problem in the marriage life. So how did Paul correct all this problem? He bring them to the enjoyment of Christ. But what kind of Christ did Paul bring them to enjoy? Not the ascended Christ, not even the resurrected Christ, but the crucified Christ. Do you know what does crucified Christ means? That means this is not a victorious Christ, but a defeated Christ. This is not a strong Christ, but a weak Christ. This is not a triumphant Christ, but a Christ being abused by men. So in the life study, it said that the crucifixion of Christ implies he was despised, rejected, and defeated. One day, I went to Russia to visit the saints there. A colleague whom I know very well told me that he said the problem for our coordination here in Russia is not we are too weak, but we are too strong. Everyone is too strong. She said, the problem is not we are not strong enough. The problem is that we are not weak enough. If we all feel that we are small potatoes, no problem. But if you feel that you are somebody and I am somebody, then there are many problems. So how did Paul solve the problems in Corinth? He brought into this crucified Christ. Not a victorious Christ, not a triumphant Christ, but a defeated Christ. There's a word in that study, very well read to you. He said the crucifixion of Christ has silenced the entire universe, simplified the extremely complicated situation in the universe. Before Christ was crucified, there are so many voices, there are so many sounds, there are so many opinions in the universe. Which one is right, which one is wrong, which one is strong, which one is weak, which one is this, which one is that. But the crucifixion of Christ silenced the whole universe. This kind of Christ is Paul want to bring the church in Corinth to enjoy. Amen. The crucified Christ. Amen. D. The New Testament ministry enjoyed Christ at their all-sufficient grace through suffering and the ministry of the new covenant is produced by revelation plus suffering. I love this word very much. The New Testament ministry is produced by revelation plus suffering. Revelation plus suffering. If you want to have something genuine, something mature, that must be the revelation plus suffering. We just read the golden lampstand, right? How does golden lampstand made of? It is by beaten work. You bring one talent of gold and beat it. I don't know how many times. Thousands of times, 10,000 times, until it had the form of the golden lampstand. This beaten work is a symbol of suffering. You want to become God's testimony. You want to shine forth God's light. You must receive the beaten work, which is the suffering. So today, the New Testament ministry enjoy Christ as their all-sufficient grace. But the more we suffer, the more give us grace. Amen. My grace is sufficient for you. This is the way for us to receive grace. E, Christ as the grace of God is a good land for us to enter into, enjoy, experience, partake of, and possess. Amen. If we enjoy grace, then we will find out Christ is the good land. Amen. The church in Jerusalem, they want to present a video presentation. The script was written by Brother Andrew Yu. and describes all the riches in the good land are the type of Christ. They have three floors in the church in Jerusalem. The third floor is used for the church meeting. The second floor is used as a language learning, because nowadays the second foreign language in Israel is Chinese. So they want to bring the many middle-aged training graduated to Jerusalem to teach people free Chinese. And the first floor is the exhibition hall. There are many tourists to Jerusalem from all over the world. People all want to see Bethlehem, Nazareth, all this place. So in Jerusalem, they want to prepare an exhibition hall at the first floor of the meeting hall. And there's a video presentation to depict every plant, every miracles, every animal are a type of Christ. The olive tree is a type of Christ. The pomegranate tree is a type of Christ. The grapes is a type of Christ. The lamb, the iron, the copper are all the type of Christ. This is the good land. The more we enjoy grace, the more we realize Christ is the good land. Amen. F, read together. Amen. Grace is. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of God, the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This means that the grace is nothing but the triune God himself. Amen. Okay, last point, Rome numeral 3, read together. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus has been sent into his chosen one through the New Testament age, consummated in the new Jerusalem, in which we possess and amen. Have you noticed that all the three major authors of the New Testament, their epistles are all ending with grace? Paul, 2 Timothy, say, may the grace of the Lord be with you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter say, growing grace. And Revelation, Apostle John, he say, may the grace be with all the saints. Amen. So all the three major authors in the New Testament, their writings are all ending with grace. So, praise the Lord. May today we can all enjoy grace. Amen. And preach the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So I end it here. Maybe we have some time for sharing. Amen. Amen.